Chapter 1. LeBron James in panic mode as Space Jam proves to be a financial disaster.
Oh, you just hate to see it from the worldwide super international star LeBron James. You just hate to see all these bad things happen to him. Now LeBron got paid for this movie, regardless of whether or not it makes money, but it looks like this is going to be a colossal financial failure for Warner Brothers and an epic backfire, as it looks to be getting banned from China for release. Now look, Space Jam, A New Legacy was never supposed to be an Academy Award winner or an Emmy nomination. It was supposed to be a stupid film that kids watch, and kids watch a lot of stupid movies. And quite honestly, the fan reviews for A New Legacy were close to 80% last time I checked, even though critics had completely eviscerated it. But you have to stick with the fans. I can't just conveniently say critics hated it in this particular case. So whoever is watching it appears to like it. The problem for Space Jam A New Legacy is that nobody's watching it. 177 reviews at a 29% is nothing to write home about, but the audience score is at an 80%, a little bit different than, say, Masters of the Universe. I mean, I just as a different type of, you know, example, you know, the critics love it, 97%, and the fans hate it based on 300 reviews. It's not a ton yet, but you know, ultimately, I hate LeBron James very greatly. The budget for Space Jam, A New Legacy, $150 million, which means at minimum, $300 million to break even. It's going to take $300 million to break even. And we all know that Space Jam wasn't driving HBO Max subscriptions, okay? Let's be honest. Nobody is seeing it at the box office either. We can see the total box office, I think, right now is close to $50 million. If we look at Space Jam A New Legacy on Box Office Mojo, I know some people don't love this site in terms of, you know, in terms of accuracy, but this is what we have. You know, we have $35 million. I think this other one said close to 50 million. Google says, yeah, 31.65 million. I mean, this is going to be a financial disaster. The original Space Jam made 250 million. This is going to be an absolute financial debacle. And I couldn't be happier to report on it. You know, this after Pepe Le Pew was removed from Warner Brothers' Space Jam sequel because, I don't know, he was too tansy. Remember this? He starred in the first Warner Brothers Space Jam back in 96. However, Pepe Le Pew will not be showing up in the upcoming theatrical Space Jam A New Legacy on July 16th. With the Looney Tunes' French skunk besieged by controversy in the wake of the New York Times columnist Charles M. Blow slamming the character added to our culture, Deadline has learned that hybrid live-action animation scene between Jane and Pepe Le Pew, filmed back in June 2019 for Space Jam, was left on the cutting room floor. The Pepe Le Pew character will likely be a thing of the past across all media. Warner Bros. Also has no current TV featuring the skunk, and there are no plans to have him appear in Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny Builders, Tiny Toons, Looniversary, or future projects, confirmed to Deadline. So essentially, he's canceled, right? Pepe Le Pew gets canceled. But now, on top of that, LeBron James' Space Jam movie reportedly denied China opening, projected to lose millions. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, LeBron James. I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. I mean, Fast and the Furious is going to make $600 million somehow. The Space Jam sequel starring LeBron James is reportedly on track to lose more than $100 million after being shut out from China. The hit to Space Jam A New Legacy is particularly bad news for James, who infamously stirred up controversy in 2019 when he rebuked Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey for supporting the Hong Kong protest for freedom, saying, "We walk, talk about this freedom of speech, but sometimes there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself." OutKick founder and radio host Clay Travis dropped the news on Wednesday. Despite LeBron James shutting up and dribbling for Chairman Winnie the Pooh, China will still not allow Space Jam 2 to air, meaning the movie is likely to lose several hundred million dollars. Should be a master story. LeBron bent the knee to China. China still spurned him, yet media isn't covering it, Travis said. Space Jam 2 cost $200 million to make and market and will likely make less than $60 to $70 million without China, he continued, meaning LeBron's movie will lose over $100 million at least. China blocking the movie is a huge story, but no one's even discussing it in the media. Strange. LeBron ripped the First Amendment in the United States, declined to speak up about basic human rights in China, and shut up and dribbled for Chairman Winnie the Pooh, all to get Space Jam 2 on in China, Travis added, and now LeBron won't even talk about his movie being banned because he's still afraid of China. Space Jam: A New Legacy topped Black Widow at the box office, bringing in $32 million during its opening weekend, according to Deadline. James was pretty satisfied with that, tweeting out a link to the Deadline story saying, "Hi, haters." I mean, okay. That's not even good. $30 million, I guess. But when you, the budget is so enormous that I'm not sure I would be taking any kind of victory lap. See, the box office thing is a little weird because it's been out. So this was on July 18th, so we don't have totally updated box office numbers. But I think it's safe to say, okay, this says $53 million. Still, all in at $53 million, you're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars on this film. I just hate to see it. Press like if you're just so sad. And if you haven't yet, make sure you press that subscribe button because you're just so sad for LeBron James. By the way, this is also a film that made sure to make Lola Bunny less attractive because it was making it more modern, apparently. I don't know. Modern in what sense of the word? So nobody want, maybe that hurt, huh? Maybe all those weirdos online decided to not spend their money on your crap movie. Joe Pitka, the director of the 96 original Space Jam, has also been outspoken about his thoughts on the sequel, calling the soundtrack insignificant. Rumors have been spreading online that the movie has been banned in China and is not currently on the schedule for release over there. I mean, it's one of the tweets read, despite LeBron James. Oh, I already saw that. Politico also noted that the film is carefully neutered to appeal to an apolitical global cinematic marketplace dominated by China. However, Space Jam is not currently scheduled for release there. Joe Pitka, the director of the original Space Jam, spoke to TMZ about his thoughts on the sequel, stating that it took him 5 sittings to watch. Joe did not hold back, saying that Bugs Bunny looked like one of those fluffy dolls you buy at an airport gift shop to bring your kid when your business trip has taken too long. The director also hit out the movie star LeBron. He said, "LeBron is a fantastic basketball player. He's a top 20 player of all time. He is not Michael. Maybe they should have called it something else. Maybe they should call it, they should not call it Space Jam 2 or whatever." He continued to say, "It should be another movie. It's not Space Jam. Space Jam is Michael Jordan. No matter how much LeBron wants to be a great player, and he is a great player, he's not Michael Jordan. There will never be another Michael Jordan." Zing! What a spectacular day. I hope this brightened up your day a little bit and will bring a smile to your face. If you haven't yet, please do click that red subscribe button down below the video. It's the only way you'll find my videos. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it, that gift on Friday.
Chapter 2. The Tokyo Olympic television ratings have collapsed. Yet another case of get woke, go broke.
Hey, I'm as much a fan of Olympic speedwalking as the next guy, but when I have various athletes wanting to kneel during the anthem or whinging and complaining about having to be in the shadow of the American flag, I'm just tuning out. And a new study looks like this year's Olympics viewerships are going to be brutal, and politics are at least probably to blame for it. We saw earlier this week the U.S. Olympic female Olympic women's soccer team losing 3-0 after winning 44 consecutive matches while making sure they took time as the entire team bent the knee to BLM. Olympic ratings set to crash. Research suggests get woke, go broke. Effect partly to blame. Here's the report. Last week, marketing firm Zeta Global polled Americans about Olympics and discovered the majority aren't excited to watch the games this year. More than 60% of Americans were unable to express excitement or interest in the summer games, and at least 45% of Americans confirmed they are not looking forward to the games in any capacity, the company found. This led it to predict this year's Olympics will be the lowest watched of the 21st century. Meanwhile, another research group, Ipsos, conducted polling and Olympics enthusiasm by party affiliation and discovered that only 29% of Republicans are interested in watching the games compared to 39% of Democrats. I wouldn't write home about either of those numbers. It's also found that fewer than a third of Americans, 32%, believe Olympic athletes should be allowed to engage in political protests, including kneeling or wearing messages on their uniform. Finally, Ipsos survey showed a majority of those polled felt that a positive performance from the U.S. athlete generally made them feel proud to be an American. See, this is the disconnect right here. The fact that, look, I'm not one to say you can't, have a political opinion, but I am one to point out a bit of hypocrisy. And ultimately, you're on stage, potentially, if you earned it, to represent your country, not your own personal political agenda. The idea that, kneeling for the anthem is anything but making it about you is absurd. The idea that we get people talking. No, you get people talking about you. That's why the universally agreed upon, just aggressively unattractive Megan Rapinoe is now a Victoria's Secret ambassador. Who would want to see that? This is all about getting their own names out there and their own, political ideology. I mean, I don't think America would be, a lot of people will say, well, they have a right to do it. They can do this. Okay, well, what if they're wearing a Trump pin? Would you feel the same way? Nah, you wouldn't. You'd be saying, that's ridiculous. They're making this about themselves. That's how this all works. And, there is a sense of pride in your nation that comes from the Olympic Games because it is your nation versus others. It isn't about individual performances. It's about your nation. Sure, you have freaks of nature like Michael Phelps, who won dozens of gold medals over the years, but he still did it for the U.S. swim team. You have the NBA basketball, historically the dream team, but still, that is USA basketball versus all other countries. This is the ultimate pride in your nation type event. And when you have people making it about themselves, in particular to disparage your nation, not going to work. What happens when athletes indicate that they aren't proud to be American and they defy their fellow citizens' wishes for a politics-free international sporting event? As the U.S. soccer team did when they knelt in support of BLM, or as hammer thrower Gwen Berry did when she turned her back on the American flag during the anthem. Zeta's prediction, a ratings of free fall, comes true. As the games open Friday, Olympic ratings coverage isn't focusing on whether viewership numbers will be bad, but just how bad. The New York Post reports some experts believe it could drop to just 17 million, a disastrous figure for the 2012 compared to the 2012 London Olympics that averaged 30 million viewers, and the poorly rated 2016 Rio Games that still had 27 million. The Hollywood Reporter asked in a headline, Tokyo Olympics, how far will NBC TV ratings fall? The story goes out on to explore cable cord cutting as a primary factor that could be a tough year for NBC, the primary broadcaster of the game. Other outlets like Bloomberg have focused on the coup and lack of fans in the stands as a reason for fewer families will be gathering to watch athletes bring home the gold. But that seems like willful disregarding of the evidence that audiences feel a general lack of enthusiasm for the competitions this year and the competitors. Look, I think when you have a situation where I didn't know anything about powerlifting, but now I have to know that, you know, there's this biological male competing against biological females. It makes it seem farcical. When I see, you know, a hammer thrower, an event that could just not exist in the Olympics, you know, turning her back to the American flag, you know, the country that gave her all the opportunities to be competing in the Olympics, you know, it makes me want to tune out. We can take this straight across and look at, you know, the NBA's ratings, legendarily low. Major League Baseball ratings, legendarily low. These are two organizations that were extraordinarily political. We could see the NFL's opening week last year when they're worshiping BLM on the field, getting booed by the fans and having legendarily poor ratings until they relegated all these demonstrations to in the tunnel before the game. This was the reason ratings were down. It wasn't that there weren't fans in the stands. It was that people tune into sport to get away from stress and real world politics and troubles. When the two intersect, and it's not, by the way, it's not just on the court. Have you seen the commercials during like NFL games these days? All these woke Nike ads. It's even infecting the commercials. And as these companies continue to endlessly virtue signal, people are just tuning out. Now, is cord cutting a thing? Yeah, it absolutely is. But look, when I watch an NBA game, when I was watching the Bucks in the finals, I could still watch on Hulu. So I'm assuming that bakes into the ratings. Why would they just ignore it? I don't think that it's exclusively cord cutting. Not when you're talking about the NBA finals. Cord cutting is generally something that, you know, means they've switched to streaming services. It's not people have gotten rid of TV altogether. Based on Ipsos and Zeta's research, OutKick's popular founder Clay Travis clearly spoke for many when he said, "It's intriguing to see the U.S. women kneel before the game. There's going to be a lot of political analysis going on as it pertains to the Olympics this year. It's going to be harder to enjoy. It's going to be way more political than it's been in the past, and I think that's going to hurt viewership. It's particularly bad news for NBC as it is the network hoping to use the Olympics to draw subscribers to its new platform, Peacock." As Lightshed Partners rich analyst Greenfield told the Post, this is certainly not going to be the Olympics NBC was hoping for. Olympic athletes like me should be able to take the knee if they want. Team Great Britain track star Dina Asher-Smith tells Games bosses amid fears of punishment if they do. I don't necessarily agree that they should be punished. I don't. I agree. I mean, I just think that people are going to tune out. And then when they tune out, you can't get mad about it. You should be able to kneel all you want. Go ahead. But I have a feeling as you see continuing ratings disasters for sports leagues, they're going to start banning some of this stuff. And I'm not necessarily in support of that, but this is the reality. And you have, you know, Team USA flag bearer Eddie Alvarez tears up discussing the opening ceremony honor. The baseball player selected to Team USA's flag bearer was captured in an emotional video, tearfully explaining how the honor means everything to him in a statement that his story represents the American dream. Eddie Alvarez, a 31-year-old first-generation Cuban-American, is a shortstop for the Marlins minor league system and was the first baseball player to hold the American flag when he led Team USA onto Friday's Olympic ceremony in Tokyo. "I owe so much to my parents, my family," Alvarez tearfully said in a video posted by Team USA. When he was asked about how he felt about being the flag bearer, "It means," the player pauses to gather his composure, "everything to me. I came over to this country, so to be able to lead Team USA is an absolute honor. It was a lot of sacrifice I had to make in my life and my athletic career, so I'm just absolutely incredibly honored. What a privilege." That's the type of competitor I want to watch on TV, not the one that's going to kneel.
Chapter 3. The Hasbro Company has fired the whistleblower that revealed secret critical race theory training that depicted children as racists.
Interesting update on the whistleblower from Hasbro. If you have been following the news, there was a pretty shocking revelation that Hasbro had in fact been integrating some very, how do I say, controversial training for their employees, critical race theory or adjacent, I suppose. So then the whistleblower who released that has now been fired. Hasbro suspends critical race theory training whistleblower, claims recent leak mischaracterizes our values. Now, to be fair, whistleblowers can expect to be fired, certainly. But you know, I hope that they, you know, I hope that somebody starts like a GoFundMe for them or something to get them through this time, because I think it's important that you call this stuff out. Following the publication of its critical race theory training program, Hasbro has suspended whistleblower David Johnson in order to investigate a potential violation of his confidentiality clause and respond to the backlash by the leak by asserting that the recently revealed information, quote, mischaracterizes our values. As reported by PV, an investigative journalism outlet, the toy manufacturer's The Conscious Kid-led training was leaked. Just one day after publishing the report on his information, Hasbro suspended Johnson's contract in order to, quote, some sort of issue of breach of confidentiality. Again, you can't expect to not get fired if you leak this stuff out. But that's what makes it kind of a heroic move, I think. As told to the engineer by Harvey Nash, President Jason Pyle, whose company partnership with Hasbro resulted in Johnson's assignment to the company, at this moment, your assignment with Hasbro, your access to all company-related information has been suspended for the moment while they do an investigation. Well, of course, he's not going to be renewed. I want to understand that while you are aware, David Johnson, have a contract with Harvey Nash that has a confidentiality clause. And whether or not you've properly reviewed that, you are to not share any kind of internal information externally in any way, shape, or form if it's deemed to be proprietary in nature. The same day, Hasbro provided a statement to The Hill's Christian Spencer claiming that, quote, the PV report mischaracterized Hasbro and our values, noting that our mission is to create the world's best play and entertainment experiences that connect children, fans, and families around the world. Hasbro then pulled a page out of the Coca-Cola's playbook and stated, we occasionally invite third-party speakers for optional sessions to discuss diverse viewpoints. Quote, the reference session was not mandatory training. It was an optional webinar attended by a small group of employees. The company continued, as always, the views expressed by external speakers are their own and not reflect the values of our company. Well, yeah, but you paid for it. Oh, here, he does have a GoFundMe. I'll leave a link to that. Dang, 172 grand. Nice work. That should at least buy him a year or two. You know, you could see I've decided to speak out against CRT being pushed to Hasbro. In the simplest definition, it's the academic justification for why discrimination based on race is actually a good idea. If the youngest generation of Americans are taught that racial segregation is the correct path, then as a country, we will find ourselves in a future where white children are told no matter what they do, they're oppressors of minorities, while the minority children are told they can't succeed in society because they are perpetually and forever oppressed. By the way, the whistleblower is not a white dude. You know, it's good. I don't know why it is that way, but it's just, I guess, optically, it's good when you can have people stand against this who are of minority status, because it shouldn't matter what color your skin is, but it just, I don't know, it just hits different. It's just the reality of it. CRT directly opposes the dream of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, who dreamt of a world where we would judge each other by our actions and not our character. I'm sorry, our actions and character, not by the pigment of our skin. Critical race theory preaches that we should treat each other as members of a racial group in order to be anti-racist. What they won't admit is to be an anti-racist, you must racially discriminate. I refuse to sit back as this harmful ideology is being pushed on kids, knowing that whistleblowers generally lose their jobs and sometimes have their identities attacked or defamed. I had to bring attention to this. I don't want a future divided by race and hatred. If you're able, I would greatly appreciate your support. Now, this is his campaign. It's on Give, Send, Go. He created his own. You could see it is this type of training. It's just like I talk about in the schools, to be honest with you. A lot of this stuff insidiously worked its way into things like the school district, but we never found out about it until the lockdowns happened, until the shutdowns happened. when all the kids were then at home with their parents and learning via Zoom. That's how all of this got put, you know, brought to the surface. Nobody had any idea on any large scale that this kind of stuff was being taught in schools until Zoom happened and parents saw it. Now you could see on Yahoo News, an engineer working for Hasbro Contractor has reportedly pulled from a job. Yeah, I mean, I think you talk about crazy concepts like babies. Whistleblower claims Hasbro CRT training teaches that babies can be racist, and five-year-old kids are showing strong and consistent pro-white, anti-black bias. Dave Johnson, of course, is an engineering contractor, recorded this particular training. The Hasbro training was hosted by the firm The Conscious Kid. And there are hundreds of companies like this out there, run by people with gender studies degrees, whose entire business model is built on dividing people along racial lines and sowing discontent. Their entire business is to undo all of the positive things that have happened in terms of race relations over the last 50 years. Are they great? Of course not. Are they better than they were 50 years ago? Undeniably. So the idea that, you know, demonizing one group of people and then pushing this on kids is appalling. The Conscious Kid co-founder, Kate, I don't know, is Ishizuka Steffens, said that children's racial bias escalates by age. Babies as young as 3 months old already express preference by race. The famed toy maker's offerings include Monopoly, Battleship, Operation, as well as My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Mr. Potato Head, obviously Transformers. They also own Magic the Gathering. You know, it's insane to me that a toy company, and you know what's funny is, you know, when this happened to Coca-Cola, by the way, they couldn't back away from it fast enough. They backtracked so quickly, there was there was smoke on the ground. Doesn't that tell you something in and of itself? If you felt so strongly about this, and if you felt like you were doing nothing wrong, why are you so quick to denounce it and say, well, this doesn't, you know, represent our company morals and values? Well, what the H was it doing there in the first place? I think you do think it mirrors what the values you want your company to have. And the only reason you came out and said anything was because you got caught. Now, if we look at the Hasbro stock, it's difficult to point this out. You can see on the, you know, the day when this broke, I think this was late last week, you can see a pretty sharp decline. I don't remember exactly what day it broke. Let's see here. I could tell you, actually, the video dropped, I think, on a Sunday night, on the 18th. So, you know, the drop, you can't really say had anything to do with it. You know, the 16th came out on Sunday, the 18th, it actually came up Monday, Tuesday, and dropped Monday. So it didn't really have a huge effect on the stock. But again, Hasbro stock underperforms Thursday when compared to competitors. I don't know. Could this be some one rogue HR intern that wanted to bring this stuff in? Possibly, but I applaud people that continue to, you know, expose this kind of stuff, because look, there are a lot of choices in places that I spend my money and other people spend their money. There's a lot of choices in how, you know, what the toys you buy your kids and the companies. Like, is there any real difference if you get your kid this, you know, an action figure that looks like a lion or an action figure that looks like a pterodactyl? I don't know, but maybe one company makes it who doesn't have CRT training for their employees, and it doesn't matter. There's a wide variety. There's a lot of things parents can do to push back and consumers can do. And that's exactly why Coca-Cola backtracked so fast. And that's exactly why Hasbro did. You can see David Johnson was very articulate and smart about the way he handled the release of the information, the CRT training from Hasbro. That's not actually our company policy, but we will be suspending you for disclosing our confidential information, which we reiterate is not actually what we think. I mean, of course it is. I can't wait for more and more companies to have this brought out and we can root this out.
Chapter 4. Mass protests have erupted in the World of Warcraft community. Popular streamer Asmongold takes offense to some of the unfair criticism.
Bookending a little bit, of a terrible week for Blizzard, getting outed in a huge lawsuit from the state of California with apparently 1,000 people connected to it, getting a terrible report from Jason Schreier about Warcraft 3 coming out, and perhaps more ruffling than even both of those things is the ongoing exodus from World of Warcraft to Final Fantasy XIV Online. Now, we don't know, for example, you know, Final Fantasy is hitting numbers that it has never hit before, but that doesn't necessarily mean people are canceling their World of Warcraft subscriptions. I, for one, you know, many times in my history have just continued to pay without playing. I've put it on pause or whatever they call it for 6 months before. So just because all these people are playing Final Fantasy XIV doesn't mean they've quit or stopped paying Blizzard any money. But certainly their last quarterly reports indicated that there was significant player loss overall. Now, maybe it's just because it's summertime and things are opening up more. But news obviously dropped yesterday about a pretty bad work environment, a toxic work environment. And it was one of those cases where I think that the examples were very specific, very appalling. And because they are so specific, it just lended a lot more credence to the things that were being said. That doesn't automatically mean they're true. And the process, you know, justice has to take its course. But a pretty disturbing trend, I guess, took place after that suit came out. And it started with a video from Asmongold talking about how other World of Warcraft content creators and employees at Blizzard were getting harassed for working there and or for playing their game. And I wanted to echo kind of that statement and the beginning part of this video is that you don't hate the player, you hate the game, so to speak. And in this case, it isn't the game isn't actually referring to the video game. But, you know, I talked to Asmongold directly and asked him if there was anybody in specific, you know, that he was referring to in this particular video. I asked him if he thought it was, you know, an important topic. And he filled me in on a few things. And I believe he's right. You know, I've changed my opinion over the years on the whole boycotting games thing, and even Disney Plus, for example. You can criticize a company while still streaming their game. I know that there will be some people that have a visceral reaction to that when I say it, but, you know, I did it for years as a Magic the Gathering player. Had they not banned me, I would still be playing their game. I would still be spending money on their game, and I would still be criticizing them. I don't think that it directly makes you a hypocrite, especially if when you're playing the game, if you're a World of Warcraft streamer or you work at World, you know, or, well, when you work, that's a little more complex. But as long as you're also calling them out on the garbage stuff, I don't think that it's fair to dump on creators and streamers simply for, you know, streaming that game. From what I'm told is that, you know, there's a lot of World of Warcraft streamers who are taking a lot of heat yesterday about playing the game. And I don't think that's fair because really a lot of these people built their entire audience streaming a particular Blizzard game, for example, Overwatch, World of Warcraft, maybe Diablo or something like that. And to put that on them is not fair. And to put that on them also is just a jerk move because they built their entire, it took them, many of these people, years and years and years to build up their audience. And most of them stream one, maybe two games, right? Generally, it's people stick to one game. And if they were to just stop playing that game, their audience would just go watch someone else play it. Because people that want to watch Diablo or Overwatch or World of Warcraft, that's what they want to watch. Yes, there are people that watch you for you, but it's a smaller portion than you think. For the same reason on this channel, when I cover like a basic news thing, you know, I'll get around 100,000 views. If I cover something like related to me, it's always half of my normal views. If it's some like, hey guys, I want to talk to you about this or do that, or talk about something in my life, I'm okay with that. But that's just the nature of the beast. There are people that watch my videos because they genuinely like me and they don't care that much about what the particular topics I'm talking about. But then there are an even larger portion of viewers that literally come here for the news. They don't care about me. They don't have to care about me, I should say. And that's just, you know, I'm providing a service for them. This is the same thing for people that stream video games, and that's, I don't think it's fair to dump on them. You know, you can play a game, you can profit from the game and not be a hypocrite, so long as you continue to criticize and you don't try to gloss over stuff. Asim writes, yesterday on July 21st, we know the news broke. Then Asim does a video. Obviously, there's been some disgusting, despicable, disappointing stuff that's happened at Blizzard. There are many people who are saying you should quit your job, you should stop streaming World of Warcraft. I feel like those opinions and these things they're saying and the fact that they're using this rationalization to then harass these individuals is the pinnacle of the word I hate to use. It's a pinnacle of privilege. I don't know if privilege applies to me. I don't know if privilege is the word I'd use for it, but regardless, he's right. It probably works. It actually probably works because it's not so easy to, like, you know, relocate your whole family to California and then just quit on principle. Principle doesn't pay the mortgage. Principle doesn't put food on the table, feed your kids, put your kid through college, pay for your kids' medical bills, pay your loans, your car payments, your college debt. Principles are kind of worthless in the real world. I mean, they're great to have and you should have them, but at the end of the day, and it probably is a position of privilege. That's probably true. Now that I warmed up to it, I think he was right, because it is privilege to sit at home and have no skin in the game and then demand people make some sort of radical life-changing decision just to, you know, pass your purity test of them. I went through this a lot. I love World of Warcraft. I love it. I love it so much. And what they did with, you know, regards of Hong Kong, like, their mess ups for me aren't even like what they are for most people. For me, it's never even like about, oh, I didn't like this particular content patch. It was like their dismissal of a right for Hong Kong players to call out for independence for Hong Kong, disavowing that while then going on stage as Jaylen Brackwearing and saying we don't allow political things or statements, but then going on stage and saying that while wearing a pride pin. It was that kind of stuff that really made me dislike Jaylen Brack and a lot of the top brass at Blizzard. But none of that changed how much I love the game, because the game is the community inside of it. It's not, you know, it's greater than the sum of all of its parts. And you know, as everybody's coming out, like Destiny 2 maker weighs in on Activision Blizzard. You know, Bungie tried to come out now and kick them while they were down. I thought that was a little classless, especially since a lot of these employees probably worked there. Bungie put out a big tweet about how they're super awesome and this would never happen at Bungie. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was part of the reason they left. I don't know. On top of that, now Overwatch map announcement pulled amid Activision Blizzard claims. So they had a new deathmatch map set to test playable, and they decided maybe now isn't the time to roll out this particular new feature, which is actually something that Blizzard would normally do when bad press happens. And then, you know, this is what I'm talking about with World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft players are hosting sit-in protests after Blizzard allegations. I love it. World of Warcraft's current social hub is packed with players. Packed with players, but not due to a new raid or update. Hundreds of players are participating in an in-game protest against Activision Blizzard after a lawsuit that was filed Tuesday by California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. You know, I don't think that there's any real solution here for Blizzard other than decoupling from Activision. I don't even know if that's something that you can do. Many accounts are sub-blocked, which means they have prepaid active game time on their account. You know, it's nuts. It's nuts. I mean, I love it. I love the World of Warcraft community when it does stuff like this. I mean, when we lost Wreckful, you know, the stuff they did for him, it breaks my heart. And I know it's so easy to blame, oh, it's Activision that made Blizzard go bad. Well, you know, I don't really see Blizzard making good movements forward. And it's and you know, unless Blizzard can find a way to decouple themselves, I just don't see this getting any better. But I do agree with Zach that, you know, you can hate on Activision and Blizzard, but remember that individual employees and individual streamers, you know, they aren't necessarily just agreeing with everything simply because they're streaming the game. Life's more complicated than that. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.